I have never really noticed the long climb to our eyrie on top of Scaledown House, but it was different today. I suppose my arms and shoulders were finally beginning to feel the strain, and that string, bristly but fragile, was digging into my hands harder than ever. But it was true that every step was an effort, and when I at last gained the top landing, I almost collapsed against the door of our bedsitter. When, perspiring and dishevelled, I entered, Helen was on her knees dusting the hearth. She looked up at me expectantly. "Any luck, Jim?" "Yes, I think so," I replied with a trace of smugness. "I think I got a bargain." Helen rose and looked at me eagerly. "Really?" "Yes." I decided to play my trump card. I only had to spend 3 shillings.
3 shillings? What? Well,
Wait there a minute. I went out to the landing and put my hand under those strings. This, thank heaven, would be the last time I would have to do this. A lunge and a heave, and I had my prizes through the doorway and displayed for my wife's inspection. She stared at the 2 piles.
"What have you got there?"
"The Geography of the World in 24 volumes, I replied triumphantly.
"The Geography of the... And is that all?"
"Yes. Couldn't manage anything else, I'm afraid, but look. Aren't they magnificent books?" My wife's level gaze had something of disbelief, a little of wonder. For a moment, one corner of her mouth turned up, then she coughed and became suddenly brisk.
"Ah, well, we'll have to see about getting some shelves for them. Anyway, leave them there for now."
She went over and kneeled again by the hearth, but after a minute or two, she paused in her dusting.
"Can you smell anything funny?"
"Well, I think it's the books, Helen. They're just a bit musty. I don't think it'll last long." But the peculiar exhalation was very pervasive, and it was redolent of extreme age. Very soon the atmosphere in our room was that of a freshly opened mausoleum. I could see Helen didn't want to hurt my feelings, but she kept darting looks of growing alarm at my purchases. I decided to say it for her. "Maybe I'd better take them downstairs, just for now." She nodded gratefully. The descent was torture, made worse by the fact that I had thought I was finished with such things. I finally staggered into the office and parked the books behind the desk. I was panting and rubbing my hands when Siegfried came in.
"Ah, James! Had a nice run through to Leeds?"
"Yes, they said at the lab that they'd give us a ring about those sheep as soon as they'd cultured the organisms."
"Splendid!"
My colleague opened the door of the cupboard and put some forms inside, and then he paused and began to sniff the air.
"James? There's a bloody awful stink in here."
I cleared my throat.
"Well, yes, Siegfried, I bought a few books while I was in Leeds, and they seem a little damp."
I pointed behind the desk. Siegfried's eyes widened as he looked at the twin edifices.
"What the devil are they?"
I hesitated.
"The Geography of the World in 24 volumes.
He didn't say anything but looked from me to the books and back again. And he kept sniffing. There was no doubt that only his innate good manners were preventing him from telling me to get the damn things out of here.
"But I'll find a place for them,"
I said, and with a great weariness pushed my hands yet again under the strings. My mind was in a ferment as I shuffled along the passage. What in heaven's name was I going to do with them? But as I passed the cellar door on my right, it seemed to provide the answer. There were great vaulted chambers beneath Skeldale House, a proper wine cellar in the grand old days. The man who went down there to read the gas meter always described them as the catacombs. And as I descended into the murky, dank-smelling depths, I thought sadly that it was a fitting resting place for my books. We kept only coal and wood down here now, and from the muffled thuds I judged that Tristan was chopping logs. He was a great log chopper, and when I rounded the corner he was whirling the axe expertly round his head. He stopped when he saw me with my burden and asked the inevitable question. I answered, for I hoped, the last time. "The Geography of the World in 24 volumes. And I followed with a blow-by-blow account of my story. As he listened, he opened one tome after another, sniffed at it and replaced it hurriedly. And he didn't have to tell me, I knew already. My cherished books were down here to stay. But the compassion which has always been and still is uppermost among the many facets of Tristan's character came to the fore now.
Tell you what, Jim, he said. We can put them in here.
He pointed to a dusty wine bin just visible in the dim light, which filtered through the iron grating at the top of the coal chute which led from the street.
It's just like a proper bookshelf.
He began to lift the volumes into the bin, and when he'd arranged them in a long row, he ran his fingers along the faded opulence of the bindings.
There now, they look a treat in there, Jim.
He paused and rubbed his chin.
Now, all you want is somewhere to sit. Let's see now. Ah, yes.
He retreated into the gloom and reappeared with an armful of the biggest logs. He made a few more journeys, and in no time had rigged up a seat for me within arm's reach of the books.
That'll do fine, he said with deep satisfaction. You can come down here and have a read whenever you feel like it.
And that is how it turned out. The books never came up those steps again, but quite frequently when I had a few minutes to spare and wanted to improve my mind, I went down and sat on Tristan's seat in the twilight under the grating and renewed my acquaintance with the geography of the world in 24 volumes.
Chapter 15. The flu epidemic sweeping through the Darabee district hit the farming folk particularly hard. The townspeople could take a few days off till it passed, but when there were cows to be milked twice a day, it couldn't be done. On my rounds, I saw stocksmen flushed with fever, staggering, streaming-eyed from cow to cow when they should have been in bed. Helen's father and Auntie Lucy were two of the victims and in need of help. I didn't wait for Helen to say anything about it, but suggested right away that she should return to the farm for a few days to run the house. And it was so strange in the bedsitter without her that I went back downstairs to my old room adjoining Tristan's to sleep, and I ate with the brothers in the big dining room.